How are your kids doing? Good. You normally sit up there? You guys sit there, I'll sit here. My name is Nick, and he thinks it's funny because to him, my name is Daddy or Papa. And this is my wife, Jocelyn, and that's Mama for him. And then Ruth is here in her nice Congo dress, and Pascal is over there who likes to make some noise. So we are happy to be with you guys here this morning. Sorry we don't have like a whole kids thing. You're going to have to listen to us for the whole service, so we'll try not to be too boring, okay? But I tell you what, for this little kids time, we'll share some stories and talk a little bit, and then whoever gets the question right at the end, which means you have to listen, gets a toy airplane. So,
there's more on the table in the back.
There's more at the back for people who get questions right for the adults, too. Now you can have a toy airplane, too. Airplanes are faster than helicopters. Trust me, I'm a pilot. Yeah? Okay, you guys listening? You ready? You got to listen if we get the question right. So I was going to share a story from Romans 10, and I was going to talk about teamwork. Do you guys know on teams that every person has to do their job, right? Yeah. So like teamwork, maybe on a hockey team. You guys like watching hockey? The Edmonton Oilers or Calgary Flames? No, Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, Oilers and all them guys. Yeah. So on the hockey team, there's like a captain and a goalie and the coach and the fans that are cheering them on, and all kinds of stuff like that, right? So I'll talk about that here in Romans. Just keep that in your mind as we talk. This is Romans 10. So this first part talks about believing in Jesus and confessing him so that we know that we'll be saved. So Romans 10:9 starts, because if you confess with your mouth, who's got a mouth? Where's your mouth? There you go. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart. Where's your heart? Oh, down there. Yeah, heart. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with your heart, one believes and is justified, and with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. And then later on, here's the teamwork part. It says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they supposed to believe if they've never heard? So if no one tells them, how are they supposed to believe? And if they've never heard, and are they not here without someone preaching to them? So someone has to preach so that they can hear, so they can hear, so they can believe. It's like a big chain. And how are they going to preach unless they're sent? So that's kind of what we are. You guys send us. We're sent from this church. And we're sent to where we live in Kinshasa, the Democratic Republic of Congo. Or you can just say Congo for short. And that's easier to say. So you guys send us as a church, and then we share this, what we just said, that if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. That's what we share. And I, as a pilot, fly all over the Congo, and I share that hope and love and joy with everybody that we meet and everyone that comes in our airplanes. So, hey, where'd that come from? Who's that guy? Me? Okay, that wasn't the question. That was a good question, though. So, how about for a question we can say, what were the two things that we needed to do for believing in Jesus? There was like two things there. I think you had your hand up first in the blue shirt. William. Confess. I'll help you out. Confess with your mouth. What do you do with your heart? Believe. Give William a hand. Hey, come get your airplane. Ah, awesome. Maybe William can share William's airplane after, okay? How about we pray? Let's all put our hands together and close our eyes and pray, and then we'll go back and sit with our parents and listen to us for like 20 more minutes. See what we can do. Okay, let's pray. God, thank you so much for these children. You say to welcome the children who come to you, to not shoo them away, to accept them, and that if we as adults have faith like children, that's what we need to just love you as a father. God, thank you for everyone who is here this morning on this beautiful summer day. We pray that these kids would be blessed, that their parents would continue to lead them in the ways of the Lord and in scripture and truth and love and the grace of Jesus Christ. May the lesson they learned this morning stay with them and come back and be reminded to them as they grow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, go hang out with your parents for a bit. I think we're going to sing again with Jared here.
So I was thinking we should probably do a kid's song if they're not going to go out to Sunday school. So if you want to stand with us, we'll just sing Fishers of Men. This is completely just off the top of my head here. But
I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me. Follow me. Hear Christ calling, come on to me, come on to me, come on to me. Hear Christ calling, come on to me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give. Calling, come on to me, I will give you rest. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow, grow, grow. And you'll grow. Your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow.
Awesome. So continue on singing, Our God Saves.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. Gather together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to call on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings. Joyful sound of our offering your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God sings. Our God sings. There is hope in your name. Songs of praise, our God sings, our God sings.
In the name of the Father,
in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we
Great is the Lord.
thirsty. Lord, who are we? Come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, and we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
All who are thirsty.
And all who are thirsty. Who are we? Come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries too deep, and we sing, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Come, Lord Jesus. Father, we just invite you here this morning. We thank you for all that you've done for us, and we're reminded of that. Thank you for all the things that you've commissioned us to do, to send and to go, and to share your saving power with the rest of the world. Just pray a blessing on the rest of our time this morning. Be with Nick as he speaks, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So thanks for singing with us this morning. I'm going to invite Nick to come on and speak, and you guys can have a seat. Thank you.
All right, well, it's great to be here this morning. Can you hear me? How's that? Yeah. So we're Nick and Jocelyn. For those who don't know us, we'll be sharing about our mission and ministry with Mission Aviation Fellowship. Just to help you to get to know us a little bit better, I'll give you a little background story. So, well, actually, before we even do that, I'll just bring greetings from our church. We go to an international church in Kinshasa, and there's people from all over the world, all over Africa, Europe, and North America that come to our church. And so we bring greetings from them, and then when we head back, we'll bring greetings from Westlaw Gospel Chapel to them. Yeah. So yeah, I just like to do that when we visit churches, just a helpful reminder for us as well, and for you, hopefully an encouragement that we're part of a bigger kingdom than just these four walls that can contain. And every tongue and tribe and nation sings and worships God and Jesus as we have this morning on Sunday morning. So may that be an encouragement to you. So yeah, my name is Nick, and I'm from Ontario, so the east, or the center, as we call it, if we're from Ontario. I was born and raised there and lived there till I was about 21, and then I was kind of in and out of church my whole life. We would go, I don't know, once a month or something like that. I would go to youth group sometimes if it was the fun thing to do on a Friday night, but if there was nothing else happening, I'd do something else. Never really had a Bible at our house. We didn't really pray before we eat or anything like that, so that we just kind of lived life and thought we were okay. And then when I was 21 years old, my mom had had cancer for a few years, and she ended up passing away at a pretty young age. So that was a huge impact on my life. And I had decided to become a pilot for selfish reasons. I wanted to travel the world and not work a lot and get to see things and only fly like 10 days a month. So that's what I wanted to do. And then, hang out with the flight attendants and spend night in hotels and whatever else. So that's what I decided to do. And I had finished my pilot's license. My mom passed away, and we were caring for her for quite a few years as she was getting more and more declining in her health. So once she passed away, I packed my bags and looked for jobs all over Canada. And where are all the jobs? In Alberta. So that's how I ended up coming to Alberta. So I remember packing my bags that night, fit my whole life into two suitcases. And I was given a Bible from the church I went to. And I remember thinking, do I want to pack the Bible in the suitcase? And I thought, nah, I don't have the room for that in my life. So I came out to Alberta and landed in Edmonton and bought a car and drove up north to Peace River, and I was working for Peace Air for maybe a year. And then they went under right as I started to fly for them. I was just working in the office and things like that. And then as they went under, I ended up moving to Edmonton, and then I got a full-time flying job there with Alta Flights. And I don't think they're around anymore. I think a different company bought them out. But we would fly oil crew workers back and forth to the rigs from Edmonton to Fort St. John and, Fort Nelson and Dawson Creek and all these places up there and Fort Mac and all that. So that's what I was doing. So there I was. I think I was 22 at the time. I had a house. I had a BMW. I had my dream job. And I still couldn't sleep at night. There was something that was still missing from life. So one of the pilots that I was flying with, I was a co-pilot, so one of the captains that I was flying with used to be a pilot with Mission Aviation Fellowship. So he started telling me about MAF and all the things that they do, and I said that sounds like a lot more satisfaction and fulfillment than flying around the stuff that we were doing. So I decided to quit, and I phoned up MAF. I didn't really even know what a missionary was. I didn't know about fundraising or anything like that. And I said, I'd love to come fly for you. Like, how does this work? Can I just come volunteer if you feed me and give me a house to stay? Like, I had no idea. I was really naive. So they said, well, we would like you to go to Bible college. And I said, why do I have to go to Bible college to be? I just want to go be a pilot for you in Africa or somewhere. So, but they were very gracious as they slowly allowed me to grow and develop and figure out what a missionary was. And I went to Bible college, to Heritage Bible College in Ontario. I thought if I was going to live overseas for a long time, I should probably be close to my family again since I was in Alberta for a while. So I went back, went to Bible college for 1 year, got a one-year theology certificate, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. That's when I would have really come to a saving faith in Christ, was at Bible college. Just meeting intellectual Christians who had their doctorates in theology and geology and biology and chemistry and all these things. It was amazing to see coming from a small farming community, not all that dissimilar from here, to know that there was, philosophical and intellectual Christians was a huge satisfaction for me. So that's where my journey took me up till then. Then MAF said that I needed to get some more captain hours. I had been a co-pilot my whole career. So to get more experience, I phoned up all my friends in aviation, which were all in Alberta, and they were looking for a pilot out here at the Westlock Skydive place, Edmonton Skydive. So I came out here and, fresh, brand new in the faith, excited, and needed to find a church to go to. But I was flying every weekend. Skydiving, it's every Saturday and Sunday that people want to go for a jump. So I looked online, and I found Westlock Gospel Chapel had a Wednesday morning prayer service. And so I said, well, if that's all I can do, that's what I'll do. So I came here. We used to meet out in the lobby, I think, with Keith and a bunch of other people I saw here, Eric and Lou and a bunch of the old people here, and we would bunch of the wise people here. Well, so I joke because I think I was like 23 or something at the time. I think the next youngest person was 62. I don't know. Was that you? Maybe it was Keith. Young at heart. So that's what I had for that summer, that whole summer. This place place of worship. Although I didn't see a lot of you on a Sunday morning, I was here every week for Wednesday morning, and that was a huge part and a blessing and an encouragement to me during my walk. And then that's also at the drop zone that where skydiving place is where I met my Alberta girl, Jocelyn.
So I grew up in Grand Prairie, Alberta, which is, you know, as we know, it's Alberta's really real Canada compared to Ontario. And so I grew up and learned about God through my grandma is here today, and she would often take care of us during the summers. And I don't know if it was intentional, but she always made sure that when we came to visit her, that it was when her church had their VBS program. So I remember as a child attending the VBSs at her church and then through different camps while I was growing up is sort of how God sort of slowly each summer called me towards his heart. So I know this church is really involved in camps and with the camp here, and just encourage you in that, is that that's really how God used summer camps to really to be able to bring me to him. And so that's an awesome thing that you guys do. And so, yeah, so then I was, when I graduated high school, and I sort of gypsied around the world for a few years and then came back and was living with my sister in Edmonton, and she called me up one day and she said, "Do you want to go skydiving?" And I was like, "You paying?" And she was like, "Sure." And I was like, "All right, let's go." And so I went skydiving, you know, three times that one day, and Nick, you know, threw me out of his airplane, and then I was looking for a job, and they said a parachute packer had just quit, and so I was like, I need a job, and it, you know, the lifestyle of a skydiver had fit my lifestyle that I'd had for the last few years. And as I got a talked with Nick for the very first time, he had, the thing that he neglected to mention was when he was in Bible college, he had decided that he was going to be a single missionary. So our first conversation was, "Just so you know, I am going to be single." I said, "Good for you." And a few months later, he decided that he could indeed get married, and that person could be me. And so I'm sure we came here early on when we were unengaged and decided to go with MAF together. And so we met September 9th, 2009. So we're coming up on our 10-year anniversary of meeting here soon. And then we were engaged by January 1st. And then we're finished fundraising and got married June 12th, 2010. And then moved to Congo in 2011.
Yeah, so it was a roller coaster ride since we got started there. So yeah, that's us. So now to explain a bit, Mission Aviation Fellowship, for those that might not be familiar with it. It was started by a bunch of World War II pilots. They had gotten their pilot's licenses in the war, and they thought, how can we use these skills now that we've attained to serve God's kingdom? So they heard about missionaries who were way off in the bush in the forest, and it would take them, you know, days or weeks to get to their mission stations where they were ministering. And they thought, hey, if we can just build a small airstrip in the jungle, you know, we only need like 1,000 meters, less than that in smaller airplanes, 500-600 meters, and we can fly in there and do it in a few hours instead of in days and weeks. So this is a picture of Nate Saint, and he, many of you might be familiar with his story. I think I saw the books in the library there too. The Jungle Pilot is a popular story. And that sad and story of pain and suffering, because they ended up giving their lives for the kingdom as martyrs there, where they were ministering to the tribe. There was a miscommunication in the tribe, and they ended up thinking that that Nate Saint and the other missionaries were the bad guys. So they ended up killing them there on the beach. And then later on, that's really what God used as an event to really just make MAF worldwide known as a ministry, and people started donating money and man hours and airplanes and resources, and MAF grew and grew to what it is today. And then the good news about the tribe is that Nate Saint's son Steve Saint went back, and the other missionaries, the wives continued to, of the people that were martyred, they continued to serve and were witness to this community and this tribe, and the whole tribe gave their lives to Christ, and they're following them today. Thank you. Next slide. So yeah, here's MAF today. We're all over the world, about 30 countries worldwide. And then the red countries that you see up there are the ones that send missionaries and pilots and mechanics. And then where the dots are is where the field programs are, where we serve. So all over Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, that whole area of the world, and then quite a bit in Africa as well. And we'll talk more about Congo where we are. So yeah, Congo used to be called Zaire. It's in the center of Africa. So if you're just looking at a big map, you can throw a dart, and if you're good at playing darts, get it in the middle, and that's where Congo is. It's the second largest country in Africa, so it's quite large, and gained independence from the Belgians in 1960. So it was a French-speaking country, still is to this day. That's why we spent the first year of our marriage in Quebec City. To get better in French, and our kids still go to school in French, and I speak French to them, and that's what I use all day at work as well. There's a whole host of tribal languages as well, I think 300 or 400 tribal languages, so I know a few words in those as I go to different airstrips. But yeah, big country, they gained independence, like I said, in 1960, and then things kind of went up and down from there. It's a very rich country, so that means that a lot of people want to get in there, get at their minerals. And then corruption is our biggest impediment to the gospel and to just development and social and all aspects of life. So that keeps things from progressing in the country. So MAF showed up there with one airplane, one pilot, back in 1961. And we've been there ever since the country has been a country, basically. We've had as many as 9 bases and 25 airplanes just in Congo back in the 80s and kind of the heyday of missions. And then as few as... yeah, none, when we had to do evacuations. So it's kind of, we've been there for over 55 years, but almost like 5 or 10 years at a time, because when we get evacuated, sometimes we lose everything, aircraft documents, even airplanes themselves. Our 206 still has a couple bullet holes in the tail from one of those pillaging events. And so yeah, that's kind of the things that the country's about.
So as Nick said, that Congo is a very resource-rich country. But that makes it difficult because the Congo, the country itself, is not equipped to be able to deal with taking out and then processing of those minerals. And so there's lots of other countries and other organizations that take advantage of the Congo. And so like Nick said, there's many different ethnic groups and many different languages spoken throughout Congo. And then since the 1960s, the Congo has endured over 2 decades of armed conflict, with over 5.4 million people that have died due to war-related causes. It has made it the deadliest conflict since World War II. Only 1.8% of existing roads in Congo are tarred, and less than 10% of the population has access to electricity. And there's been large pushes to be able to improve that. Nick has seen, even in the last 8 years, that many of the isolated communities that he flies to, that he's able to get cell reception. And so things are changing. So most of Africa has skipped over wires, you know, and gone to wireless. So they didn't have anything with wires, and now that wireless things are available, because you'll never be able to put wires all the way across Africa. The Congo hosts the largest UN peacekeeping force with over 21,000 soldiers. And as we said, it's very resource rich, but has a very poor population. And just want to show you sort of a size comparison to show you how really large Congo is. So you can see it compared over the US map there. So it looks, you know, relatively normal sized when you see it in Africa, but Africa is a very large continent, and it's pretty big. So we, our base, which we'll talk about, we are in the west side, and we cover most of western Congo, and then there's another MAF base in the east, which flies over the eastern side. And so we're based out of the city of Kinshasa, which is a city of approximately 12 to 14 million people. And there's about a 70% unemployment rate. In countries like this in Africa, living in the country is dangerous, many times people move to the cities, but there isn't necessarily work in the cities. And so with 12 million people, you can sort of see Kinshasa, how much it sprawls. It doesn't go up, it just goes out. And so traffic is terrible. And so this is our downtown area that you can see, and then most of Congolese people would live in areas like this, either along the river or in dirt roads and in tin shacks. It is a tropical country. We are just a couple degrees off the equator, and so people are able to live in relatively simple structures and to be able to survive, because they don't have to worry about freezing or preparing for winter like we do here.
Yeah, so as I serve with Mission Aviation Fellowship, I'm a pilot, obviously, so I get to fly. And it's really cool that I get to do what I love and that it can also be a service to the people there. So we have a bunch of different airplanes and basically all small airplanes. We have to be able to get where no one else is willing to go or no one else can go just because of the size of the airstrip. So we have small airplanes, like 9 passenger or less, and that's what we use to get out and about. Some of the trips that stick in my head, I think there I was at the National Reserve, like the rainforest that they're trying to protect. So one of the big groups we fly for is World Wildlife Fund. They can't get there by road or river or anything else. We're the only way in and out. So all of their workers to go and do creation care, protecting the environment, trying to make sure that there's still wildlife left in the forest and all the endangered species. We're the only way that they can get in and out. So that's, and then we get to know our passengers really well. Having done it for 8 years now, we have a lot of regular people, and I'll let them sit up front beside me and be my co-pilot without any function. And so it gives us a chance to chat and talk and minister to them as we have a few hours to fly. As you saw on the map, if you'd overlay it on top of Alberta, in a day I could be flying from like Calgary to, you know, Peace River and back in one day in our small airplane. So it takes a while. Some other trips that I remember are flying for a missionary family that works there and is third generation missionaries, and we always go back to where they were born and raised out in the interior in a village called Ipope. So we usually fly out on a Friday afternoon and then show the Jesus film that night, and then Saturday put on different camps and events for the men and the women and the children, and play soccer and hang out with the village, show us some more movies Saturday night, and then do church on Sunday morning, of course, and fly back on Monday. So I love trips when I can go and spend the night. You know, staying in the city of Kinshasa with 12 million people can get kind of old. So it's nice to get out in the wide open and spend time with people and get to know what it's like to live in villages. Like Jocelyn said, most of the villages are very poor. The improving that we've seen in the country is in the city centers. So Kinshasa has more grocery stores and things like that. But when I fly to the village, it's goat and greens and rice, maybe if we're lucky, every night. So here's some of the organizations that we fly for. I mentioned World Wildlife Fund, Doctors Without Borders, the Red Cross, World Vision, basically any NGO group that wants safe and reliable air transportation to get either themselves or their supplies to where they need to go. They use MAF. Recently, you've probably heard in the news that there's the Ebola crisis, so we've been flying in medical supplies for that. And the vaccine that was, I think, developed in Canada that is being used for all the healthcare workers, so anybody treating Ebola patients or working in and around the Ebola outbreak, they would get the vaccine, as well as people who are first and second contacts if their family members have got Ebola. So that vaccine has to be kept very, very cold. So when we transport it, we have to have big containers of dried ice to keep it cold for the duration of the flight. And that's why the airplane is so important, because if it went by road, it would be bad by the time it got there. Another medication trip we do is quarterly vaccine flights. That's in conjunction with a Swedish Baptist church that pays for the airplane, the costs of the airplane. And then the Congolese government provides the vaccines. And then we'd fly the vaccines out to 4 or 5 different stops 3 days in a row. And they have to be delivered within 48 hours, otherwise the vaccines would go bad. Just regular vaccines that we give our kids here in Canada. So those are some of the things we do. So yeah, here's the airplanes that we have. On the bottom left there is the Pilatus PC-12. That's kind of like our sports car. It's when we have to go far and go fast, that's what we use. You saw how big the country is. So even in an airplane, it would take all day to get from one side to the other in our smaller planes, whereas in this one, we can get from Kinshasa all the way to the other side to Goma in 4 hours and go direct without stopping for fuel and either drop off or pick up and still make it home in time for, not for dinner, but in time for bedtime anyways. The other thing important about Congo is because we're so close to the equator, all we have is 12 hours of daylight to use all year round. None of this sun sets at 11 o'clock in the summer like you guys have here. So we got to maximize that 12 hours of daylight. So we're up and out of the house at 6 a.m. And wherever we land at 6 p.m. is where we're spending the night, because there's no lights on any of the runways or airstrips that we use. The other airplanes, each one has its special function. There's the Cessna Caravan. That's the one in the middle there. And it has big high wings, so that helps when the airstrips aren't as well maintained if the grass is growing up. And it also has a big pod underneath, so that's kind of like our pickup truck. Every farmer's got to have a pickup truck, so we have two of these actually, so that when one's in maintenance, we can still use the other one. And the caravan is great because we can still fit 9 people up top, but because it's not pressurized, we can put all kinds of things in the pod underneath, goats or chickens or food or, you know, supplies, even things that have to be separated from passengers. Lots of people have solar panel systems, so solar batteries. You can't just put a battery up where the passengers are, so we can put those underneath. Or jerry cans of fuel that you can't put up and mix with passengers, we can put those underneath. So it's a really great pickup truck to have to get to the unknown and places. And then also the Cessna 206 is the smaller one. So that's kind of our economy car. If we got to get there with just 3 or 4 people and do it in an economic way, we can fill that up and head out, and it's very inexpensive. The fuel for it has been getting harder and harder to find, so we actually buy it by container load from South Africa and then get it shipped up into Kinshasa, because we have the only avgas burning airplanes in the whole country. So that's the way that we can keep that economic model, and it's great for pastors and missionaries and local Congolese church workers who can't afford the faster airplanes. So yeah, here's just pictures of all the airplanes that MAF has, and you can see the ones that I mentioned there if it stops flickering.
And so with our, how many, we have 4 airplanes, and so we have 7 missionary families, a variety of Americans, Canadians, French families, and then we have about 30 national staff that help us to be able to complete our operations out of Kinshasa into the interior. And so each year the last few years I've helped put on a family conference, and one of the days we have all the families and all the kids all hang out at an area in Kinshasa, and with all of our national staff kids, it's about 60 kids all together. So there's the picture that we all took together last year. Do I have sound out of this? Do I know? So now we've talked about it a little bit. We just want to show you a quick video so that you can get a more of a live view of what we do. Do I have sound? No, no sound. We all sing in your heads and pretend like it's cool music. Oh, we just went to the... Oh, it went away. Should I go back? Anyways. Try it again. You guys are good sports. Thanks for watching that. Everything's better with music, so we'll just pretend that that was really great, okay? And so, though Nick flies, the kids and I are often at home. He does many heroic things like that. Sometimes his life is very stressful. He's been the program manager for the last 5 years, so he has to deal with tax collectors and all those sorts of things. So he's not quite as his life isn't quite as glamorous as that all the time, but he does very hard work and necessary work. But the kids and I are mostly at home. We've lived in the same house. We've been in Kinshasa for 8 years now, and we've lived in the same house for the past 6. What MAF is doing right now is we've owned a property in Kinshasa, but the house on the property, the foundation was cracking, and so currently we're building a duplex, and when we move back to Kinshasa in September, we'll be living on that side. And so because everything sometimes takes longer in Congo, if you can pray with us, that'll be finished by the time we get back, and we'll have a place to move into, but we're very excited to move there. A few other things that we try to get involved in our community. The kids, Ruth and Pascal. Ruth is 7 and Pascal is 5. And they are standing. There's Pascal with his airplane. Pascal will be going into kindergarten this year. And Ruth will be going into grade 2. They go to an international Belgian school, which is all in French. And then Nick and I have been able to get involved in some community things. I'm on the board of an American school, actually, a part of the constitution of the school started in conjunction with missionary groups and with the U.S. Government, and so a part of their constitution is that they have a missionary that's on the board, and so I've been that for the last 3 years, which has been a really great opportunity to get to know some really cool people all over Kinshasa, and then Nick's been on the elder board of the church that we attend.
Yeah, so that's the top left there is where that was the church elder board. We had a retreat, and just because of the very transient nature of our church there, people often come and serve or live in Kinshasa for 2 or 3 years, and then they move on. These are like people who work for the different governments or USAID or Canadian Aid or the Canadian Embassy or things like that. So because of that rotating door, we have a lot of new people all the time, and we have 12 elders/deacons that keep the church functioning. So I've served on that for the last 3 years, and we're excited to be in a new building as of 2 years ago. The land was given to us by the local Congolese church. It's just behind one of their churches, so we share a big property there. And we have a building and Sunday school rooms, and we just finished the third phase, which was kind of like a family room to have fellowship times and things like that after church. So it's really great, and like I said, to have people come from all over the world is an amazing thing to worship together. So that was at the recent board retreat that we had.
And because living in a city of 12 million can get a little bit stressful sometimes, we do get to go out. We have a place that we enjoy to go camping. And so this is a place called Bombolomene, and because it's on the, you know, conjunction of two rivers, which is the Bombo and the Lumene. And so we go usually if the kids have a 3-day weekend, well, it's about 3 hours from our house. An hour and a half of that is just getting out of Kinshasa. But then we get to go out there and swim in a river and get to relax and enjoy. And it's fun. Do you like it, Ruth?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite part about camping?
Going in the river.
Yeah. And having s'mores. There we go. That's right. And so we have lots of fun doing that. And having a campfire. There you go. And so just show a little bit of our life there.
Yeah, that's basically all we had to share. We really want to thank you. It's been so great to have been prayed for and supported by Westlock Church for so many years. And it's always fun for us to come back here, you know, close to where we met, and to see lots of familiar faces and friendly faces as we come back, and then a lot of new ones too. That's really great to see. We just share that our support over the years, it's been almost 10 years with MAF, and so some of the people who supported us have passed on, are on with the Lord now. Other people, for different circumstances, had to reduce support, and so we do still need about $400 or $500 a month. If you're thinking about that, or if God lays that on your heart, we would love to receive your support. Yeah. And if all you can do is pray, that's can't even say that. We need prayer way more than financial support, to be honest. If you come visit us in Kinshasa, there's an open invitation if you want to come visit us. You'll see that it's a dark place. A lot of people, as soon as they land, can just feel the spiritual weight that we live with there, and it's kind of like a dripping tap. Every day just keeps dripping on us. So we know that there are days where we're having a hard time, and we know that your prayers are faithful and keep us uplifted and encouraged. And coming back on furlough, we're only home every 2 or 3 years. It's just amazing to be reminded of how many people are behind us, part of the team, like I shared with the kids this morning. So you're a very valuable part of our team. We could not be there without you. And we just thank you so much for letting us share this morning. And we'll be praying alongside you guys too as a church, and as you're growing and shifting and changing as well. So thanks so much. We'll be at the back after if you want to come shake a hand and say hi. And other than that, we just wish God's blessings upon you.
Hey, Ruth and Pascal, come here, please. Come here, bud.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the insight into what the fires are doing in Zaire. We thank you, Lord, for the people who are their team. Mm-hmm. And we're so thankful that we can be a small part of it. And Lord, we want to just commit them to you. The work that you've laid on their heart, Lord, go before them as they head back into this dark country. Lord, we pray that you would protect them by your good name. Mm. And for their children, Lord, that you would preserve them and protect them from the evil one who wants to destroy, and he's a liar and a cheat. And I just pray, Lord, that with your grace and your power, that they would rise above and be able to minister. Thank you so much for them. We commit them to you. We pray in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I want to pray a blessing on the hours that Nick spends in a plane with passengers seated beside him and behind him. Lord, may those hours be specially blessed this coming year. That, Lord God, conversations to bring you glory and honor, and to, Lord God, speak into the hearts of these passengers. That, Lord, they will know that you are lifting them up, not just in mechanical wings, but, Lord, lifting these people up in your love and your mercy and grace, and especially in the plan of forgiveness and life in Christ Jesus. Lord, bless those conversations to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord.
Hey. Father, we pray for this family. We think of their need for a home. We pray that the home will be finished. And we pray, too, for their children as they go to school, that as they learn, may they learn of you as well as learn many things that they need to know. Pray for our dear sister as she cares for them and supports her husband, that you truly bless her heart and give her vision and give her real ministry for you, as it's evident you have. Once again, we just commit these dear ones to you. Pray that great blessing will come in that land because you have sent them there. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd just like to say something. We sort of feel special in the sense that God supplied a very great and gracious partner for Nick on a little airstrip out here. And it was so fun. And he needs a fun partner because it's, right?
Yeah.
And so... let's just pray. Lord, I want to thank you for Nick and Jocelyn and their children, Lord. And we thank you for partners in ministry. And I think people in ministry, and they need those good and faithful partners. And we just ask your blessing upon Nick and Jocelyn. We pray for traveling, and we pray that you would keep them from this epidemic that's hit the Congo, Ebola, keep them safe and may it be wiped out so that the people can survive there. And we think this huge city of 12 million people that all need to know about Jesus. And we pray that the gospel go out there effectively. But we pray, Lord, that there be peace in the land. There's so much tension and those kinds of things, Lord. We pray that you would bring peace to that land and bless Nick as he flies and witnesses and safety in the air and safety in landing and all those amazing things, Lord. We thank you for MAF and continue to bless and we pray and pray that their needs are met for the airplanes and all the team. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we are so grateful for this opportunity to hear of your work in another country and to see that you continue to do that. They can continue to reach through the lives of so many different people working in so many different areas. And so we're grateful to have Nick and Joss here today and to hear from them what you are doing through MAF in Congo. And so as they go back there in a month or so, Father, we just pray for your continued blessing on them and they would continue to reach into the lives of all of these NGOs that they were talking about and also of the communities and villages that they minister to and their neighbors as well, those who are close to them. We just pray that as they go for another couple of years stint, Father, that they will see you work through them. Thank you that they could be with us here today. And as they go, we just ask your blessing on them and that in what we heard today, Father, that we as well will see that we have a role and a responsibility to be a part of your reaching into the world. So we thank you again for this time here this morning and we pray these things all in Christ's name. Amen.
Why don't we all stand together and close.